just for you to hear it. You say I'll concede it, so be it. You left me a piece.
Hello all and welcome to episode 114 of the Man to Man NBA Show. I am your host, JP Terrell. I'm very happy you're here with us today. Us being me and the great Andy Elliott, the founder, the leading charge behind the Man to Man brand. Just he and I today, no hoop star today. He's got some family things going on, but as always, family comes first. So we'll see him again next week, and I'm sure he'll have plenty to talk about. But before we get into all that fun stuff, I have to talk to you today about Bet Online. Our partners at Bet Online continue to be the number one source for all of your betting needs and sports information. Find out all the latest sports developments, including updated odds on the NBA playoffs, which are going on right now, and you will be hearing plenty about over the next hour. Fights, UFC, MMA, and even next season's futures for all sorts of sports leagues. The MLB is back. Who you got? Pick World Series. Go put some money on them. I know the lines are already changing a little bit, and it's barely even been a week, so get those bets in now. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sports wagering needs, including live betting in your favorite Vegas casino and poker games. It's super easy to get started, so head to the website today or use your mobile device to join and use promo code BELIEVE. That's B-L-E-A-V. That's B-L-E-A-V to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Deposit whatever you want, amount you want. Get a little 50% on top of that to help you get your bets going. That's BetOnline, where the game starts. Appreciate BetOnline for working with Believe and then therefore working with us so we can give it to y'all and we can keep doing this podcast we love so much. With that all said and done, Mr. Elliott, how are we doing today? How was the weekend, brother? Happy Easter. Hope you feel
well. Yeah, dude. Happy Easter, man. I think I can't remember what our episode last Easter was, but Liam, if you're listening to this, we did like one of those quarantine house. No, I think it was like two Easters ago. We did a quarantine house, like choose your quarantine house. I don't know if you saw this on social media at all, JP, but it was, I think we did like basketball edition. It was like, we picked Shaq, Stephen A, Ron Artest, and it was somebody else. It was either like Birdman or something, but yeah, happy Easter, man. What did I do this? JP, you called me up yesterday and you said you were on like a little 3-day bendy. So I'm good. Friday night, I think I went out. Friday night was a bendy for sure for me. Saturday, nothing, catching up on sleep. And then today, I got like back knee, bro. Like, you know, I've been hitting the gym a little bit, getting some back knee. So, you know, the Madre with the Skin Studio hooked it up today. And just trying to get that right so I can take off my shirt come summertime now. But
hey, I feel you, brother.
It's good, man. Tell us about the 3-day bendy that you just got going on. JP calls Liam and I. JP never text us like throughout the weekend unless there's something going on with him and talking about a couple of teddies hitting the system. So how was the 3-day bendy, bro?
Yeah, the 3-day trip. I went and saw some of my friends up at James Madison University, which is, I'm from Richmond, Virginia. A lot of my friends go to JMU. And it's only a quick 2-hour drive up the road. So whenever I need a little detox, I go up there and it was a lot of fun. Got to see a lot of cool people, meet a lot of new people. Yeah, it was a good time. And I did, I called the boys up to see what was going on as we were all watching basketball, as just things were going on. It was a Saturday night. I want to see what the guys were up to. And
that's the first time you've ever, that's the first time you've ever done that.
Oh yeah. 100%. I mean, it's Saturday night. I know y'all.
That's how you know. That's how you know JP is on one. Just trying to talk. He was like, I'm just trying to talk to the boys. What's up? And I was like, mm-hmm. All right, we got it. And JP ends up FaceTiming us. He's like, what's good? Like, bro, what are you doing? But shout out to, I guess, the trivia question winner last week, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's so for anybody that I'm sure a lot of people saw on social media or you heard it last week, but Andy posed the question, what does JP stand for? Which is the acronym that I've gone by for most of my life. And it's the correct answer is Justin Penza. Which happens to be Justin is my first name, obviously, and Penza is my mom's maiden name, also happens to be my middle name. And a lot of people do know that, people that I'm close with, but obviously hundreds more do not. I've had really good friends in my life for like almost a decade at this point that have no idea what JP stands for, because it just doesn't come up in conversation. But my good buddy, he's really a good friend of my brother's as well, guy I played baseball with for a long time, I respect the hell out of, Nick Noonan, was the first man to get it, and he's getting some free merch. There's a lot of good answers on the Instagram page. If you want to go check them out, read the comments. There's a lot of funny ones. The fans and my friends were enjoying it.
Yeah, I mean, no one's going to go look back at that, so we can just kind of rip them here. Jumper polling stands for that JIP. What is JIP? J-I-P.
A JIP. So all my buddies at Clemson call me JIP, J-I-P. I don't know why. I thought JP was short enough, but in Clemson, South Carolina, there's a lot of people who only know me as JIP.
Okay. J-Buck, Gene Paulo, James Pierre, Jelly Pudding, Juan Paulo, JIP Clubs, and Jelly Bean Pop-Tart.
Yeah, I mean, they were all close. You got to give them that.
It was close, yeah. So, yeah, I guess we're sending some merch out to your homeboy. Hopefully, he'll rock the MTM, dude. Maybe we can do something like that, like, every other week. I don't know what you – maybe you can come up with the next trivia question.
Yeah, absolutely. It's good fan engagement. I appreciate everybody who, you know, took part of it, reached out. Had a lot of people reach out to me specifically about it, saying – yo, what does JP stand for? And I wasn't spoiling anybody. I was making sure fair and square. I had family members reaching out being like, can I answer? And I had to tell them, no, we need this to be as legitimate as possible. But it was a lot of fun. I'm glad we did something like that. And yeah, 100% we can get into that, do a little something like that in the future. The more merch out, the better.
Speaking of merch, get your damn merch, you know. We got these hoodies that we're trying to get rid of. So maybe JP, you need to hook the homies up with some merch, bro. You got to send them the link or something, you know? I don't think any of your boys have merch now.
Not that I know of. I mean,
JP.
All my homies are still in school trying to survive off of, you know, $15 a week, but I'll make it happen. They're all about to graduate, so that'll be a different situation. But
you just got out of college last year, right?
Yeah, I've been out, so I'm approaching the year mark at this point of being gone, and all my buddies are still there. So
you said you got an ex-girlfriend or something that you're going, like, is that why you're going back there all the time? You said you got no. You said you had a girlfriend or something there.
I don't have any girlfriend anywhere. No, I went to down to Clemson. I just like going and seeing the boys.
I think JP got a girlfriend. I don't know, like a secret admirers or whatever, crush admirers. I think that's the reason why you're going out there, dude. But just let us know, man. Let us know if you need anything from us. Other than that, like continue your search.
All right. Yeah, I will. I'll let you know. And yes, if when I do eventually enter a relationship, I'll let you know. We'll make sure there's some merch going out that way. I'll keep you in the loop. You don't worry about it, Andy. I got you.
All right. Bro. Just let me know what bird we're flying to, you know?
I got you. All right. This is the NBA show. Let's do a little NBA talk because it's a big time in the NBA. The playoffs officially started this week. We had the first full game. This weekend, first full day of games, I should say, and it has absolutely lived up to the hype. We had a really good play-in game stretch. I'm not going to go back and review all those because they happened a while ago at this point, and so much has happened since. And if you're listening, you probably already know what happened in the play-in games. But it was a lot of fun just to see some play-in games where obviously there was a couple blowouts. But generally speaking, these games were really entertaining, good to watch. And the Minnesota Timberwolves, hell of a game. They made it all the way in. They're celebrating like crazy. I support it. You know what, Minnesota, you do what you got to do. It was a lot of fun to watch. And now that the entire playoffs are set, we got them 7-game series. It's always a little weird to go from, oh, these are all one and dones at like March Madness and playing games, now 7-game series. Cause even though the pressure is still very high, it's not a one game, one and done very high. So we're going to break down every game that's happened so far, just to give the listener heads up as we are recording this. The Bulls and the Bucks are playing actively as we record this. So we're not going to have every game done. We're going to miss about two. But every other game that's happened so far, we're going to get to talk about. And we're going to start with the Jazz versus the Mavericks, which was the first playoff game of the year. And Jazz won 99-93. It was a great game for Donovan Mitchell. He had 32, 6-6. Donovan Mitchell is turning into one of the great NBA playoff performers, definitely of this generation for how young he is, but in the history. I mean, you look at – they show these infographics on the games where it's like he's doing stuff that like only MJ, Kobe, and like Wilt Chamberlain have done in the playoffs. It's insane, his scoring ability, and LeBron. We know Donovan Mitchell's great, but his future with Utah is a little shaky, I'd imagine, but it looked pretty good. They didn't break 100, which is a little crazy to think that playoff teams are winning games, not breaking 100, but as we've seen, this Mavericks team is really struggling without Luka. Their offense is all out of whack. Nobody knows how bad the cap strain really is. Jalen Brunson's a good player, but he's just not Luka with the ball. When your entire offense revolves around a guy like Luka and then you don't have him, it's tough to come back from. You know, we don't know how bad this calf strain is. Some guys miss months with it. Some guys miss it for a couple weeks. There's some talk that Luka may be coming back, you know, within this series, which I think would be a little insane, but it could happen. He's doing light on-court work, according to the team, but it's pretty obvious that without Luka, this Mavericks team is going to struggle in this series and probably won't win it. Andy, I would love to hear your thoughts. Just, I mean, generally speaking, you know, if Luka's not here, can this Mavs team do it? Or is this Jazz team, even though they've been a little dysfunctional, a little shaky, this Jazz team at 75% is better, probably still better than the Mavs without Luka.
Yeah, I mean, that's no doubt. And also without Tim Hardaway Jr., who's, you know, averaging 14 points per game during the regular season. Great game overall. I mean, it's going to be a great series. Without Luka, right, obviously that's going to be the key component, you know, for the Mavs to kind of get over this hump and win this series. I will say, great game by the Jazz. Bojan Bogdan, shout out old Pacers guy, 19 in the first half. And Donovan Mitchell, when you're just looking at him during playoff time, he's a different breed, man. He's a monster. You know, trying to just dunk on people, dude, you know, putting the nuts on head, and ends up with 32, but 19 in that third quarter. So, I mean, it was a great game, but without having those two guys, the Jazz almost lost the game, essentially, right? Mike Conley hits two big buckets, three pointers, in closing minutes of the fourth quarter, but it was still pretty close to where Kleba's in the game, still knocks down a huge three at the end of the game, to kind of get them back going and try to get them back, you know, into a lead. But it's not just going to be Kleba. It's not just going to be Brunson. You know, these other guys are going to have to step up, and we've seen them do that without, you know, with injuries in the regular season for the Mavs. So they could do it. I could see them winning a couple of games, but obviously the biggest question is, when will Luka Doncic come back? And then Tim Hardaway Jr., what's going to happen with him? Jazz just got to be able to figure out how to close games. And that's especially going after this first series here.
Absolutely. I think we talk about Donovan Mitchell being a different breed in the playoffs, because Donovan Mitchell's a great player. He always is. You know, he was hurt for a little bit this season, but generally speaking, Donovan Mitchell is a top, you know, 25 player in the league all time. But the way the Jazz offense can shift come playoff time, where all of a sudden Donovan Mitchell, when he needs to be, can be a 19 point in a points in a quarter scoring guy, that is the sign of a team that can win series consistently. The problem with the Jazz so far in the last few years, the reason they have it is, like you said, they can't close games. They can't close series. Last year they ran into the buzzsaw of the Clips, which was unfortunate, even though the Clips ended up losing in the Western Conference Finals. But this year, if the Jazz can make it out of this series, it's going to be one of the better chances they've had, just with the possible line they could have to the finals. However, I don't – either team making it out of this first round, whether Luka comes back or not, I don't think makes it past the second, but that's a long way from now. And yeah, there's really, it's hard to talk about this series without the extra emphasis on Luka's injury, because we just don't know what it is, what it will be. And if he can't play, the Mavs are up for a lot of trouble, because Donovan Mitchell all of a sudden is by far the best scorer in this series. And typically the team with the better scorer ends up winning. And that's why I think we saw it, even when the Jazz don't play well, and they need Donovan Mitchell and Bogdanovich to carry them, they can, and they can win games. So that's 1-0 for the Jazz in that series. They'll play again tomorrow. Probably won't be seeing Luka, if I had to imagine, considering we haven't heard anything about it. So that would lead me to believe it'll probably be 2-0 getting out of Dallas, which would be a disaster for the Mavericks. But we'll see. Maybe they can pull one out, go 1-1 back to Salt Lake and make things a little bit more interesting. But the other games in the West that were happening early yesterday was the Timberwolves-Grizzlies. Timberwolves, the 7 seed, pulling out an early upset in Memphis, 130 to 117. Anthony Edwards is a dog. There's no way to other way to describe him. He's got that dog in him. He had 36, 2-6, and was the best player on the floor for most of the game. And in a game where the Ja Morant played very well, Ja had 32, 4-8 on decent efficiency, not great, but enough to keep these Grizzlies really in the game for a long time when they probably shouldn't have been. There was sometimes look like the Wolves are just going to run away with this game. But something that everybody's talked about all year is how good this Grizzlies team is on the defensive end. That, you know, and even without Ja, they can do this, this, and this because their defense is this good. Well, one of the best defensive teams in the league just gave up 130 points. And the Mavericks, or excuse me, the Timberwolves are a good offensive team. But you're giving up 130 points in a home playoff game against a 7 seed? That is alarming. I don't care if Kat and Anthony Edwards play great. That is a problem. It's one game. There's no reason to sound the alarms yet. But, Andy, as a, you know, close, geographically close to Memphis guy, and I know you follow them a little bit and you love Ja, you got, is there any worry for you in your head?
For me, no. Obviously a young, inexperienced team, and we've talked about the Grizzlies and what they're going to be able to do and how they're going to be able to ultimately handle themselves coming into the playoffs with, you know, dogs on the other team, right? Cat, all-star, Bev's been there. D'Lo, first, you know, first pick overall a couple of years back. I'm not too worried about the Grizzlies until they lose the second game here. If they, you know, if they go down 0-2, it's a different story, right? I'm just looking at the box score here. And for the Timberwolves, everybody is a plus 10 plus minus ratio when on the court. And that's for the starters on the Timberwolves compared to the Grizzlies starting five, all minus 13 plus. So that just means that chemistry is not there. They're not doing well with those five guys on the court at the same time. Maybe figure out some different rotations going into game two. I know there's always adjustments going into every single game within these playoffs. They'll figure it out. Jenkins is a great coach, but Timberwolves are coming with some serious dog in them. And for the Grizzlies, I'm not exactly sure what needs to be done. You know, I'm not the coach. I'm just a fan, right, watching. But I think that maybe, you know, maybe switch up the rotations a little bit and see what works, what doesn't. Play more small ball, play more big ball. But regardless, to answer your question, not worried about it. But if they go down 0-2, then, you know, you gotta kind of reevaluate and have some serious adjustments played there.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I obviously no team ever wants to lose two games at home. And if you're a two seed, you definitely don't want to lose the first two games at home, even if you think you are far better than this team and can beat them four times in a row. And I think everybody would agree this Grizzlies team as a whole is better than this Timberwolves team. However, we saw the Minnesota crowd in the play-in game. It's not going to be less intense as the series goes on. If the Timberwolves, I mean, they're going to have at least one game under their belt when they go back home. If they're up 2-0 going back to Minnesota in that sort of environment for this young Grizzlies team, that is a tough thing to come back from. I can see, I mean, then at that point, we're starting to talk about like Minnesota getting out of this series, not just making it competitive in like four or five games. I mean, it's going to be, the Grizzlies, I'm with you. I'm not worried yet, but the next game, they need to come out. They need to perform well. They need to hit their shots. Ja, who's been playing great, don't get me wrong, I don't put any of the blame on Ja for this last game, but he has to come out and do another one of those Ja-like performances that we see. It can't just be the highlights, because he's got his highlights. Ja's always going to have these awesome, crazy plays. Right. But your team's got to win games against teams like with like an Anthony Edwards, a dynamic scoring guard, and a Karl Anthony Towns, who's like a top three center in the league right now, top four center. So
they also 7 threes made from the Grizzlies out of 27, seven. So they're just not, I mean, poor performance shooting wise. But you are getting to the free throw line 43 times, 32 out of 43 shooting 75% compared to 24 out of 27, which is still very fucking impressive by the Timberwolves side. But 43 times at the line, it's pretty impressive. But if you're shooting 7 threes, or if you're only making 7 threes out of what, 26 and 27, you know, it kind of flip flops itself there.
Yeah, absolutely. And for a team like the Grizzlies, that they score a lot of points in the paint, but they got a Desmond Bain and a Zaire Williams and guys like that, who these guys are shooters. That's what they do. To then go and turn around and shoot less than 30%, basically 25% from three, is bad. It won't happen again, that's something that I think is important to recognize, is it is very unlikely they shoot this poor again. If you believe in progression to the mean, they're probably going to shoot great from three tomorrow. But it's no, the worry meter for me is not high yet, just like it's not high for you. But we'll see. This, it's something that I can imagine some Memphis fans are probably getting a little antsy, because this is a great team. And losing to the Timberwolves first round would be utterly a disaster. Mm-hmm. There's no other way around it, because this Timberwolves team, they are – as fun as they are to watch, they are horribly consistent, and the Grizzlies team should never be losing in a seven game series to them.
Shout out Anthony Edwards for balling. Like, he's just a stud, bro. I think, and we can talk about it. I don't know who the four players were. Was it Maxi Edwards? I'm talking about their debut game, playoffs debut game, mm-hmm. 30 under 30 or whatever the hell they were talking about. Who was it? Who were the other two guys? It was Maxi with 38, Edwards with 36. Was it Ja with 32 then? And somebody else, Jordan Poole. which we'll get into in a sec. But yeah, I mean, Edwards is coming correct and Ja is too, but you got to figure out how to, I don't know, how to play ball with the other guys, you know, play defense, great defense, wins games. And yeah, not worried until, you know, down 0-2.
Yep, sir. All right. Moving over to the East. Probably one of the, it was an entertaining watch, but one of the least climactic games of the playoffs so far, at least the one day, full day we've had, was a 76ers-Raptors. 76ers pretty much start to finish handled this one, 131-111. It's a pretty dominant performance. As you just talked about, Tyrese Maxey played the best game of his young career. He had 38 points on 14-21 shooting, including 5-8 from three. The Raptors truly did not have an answer for him, which is, I mean, Tyrese Maxey's a great player, but he's not a guy I would ever think would just take over a playoff game like this, especially against a team like the Raptors, who guards and wings very well. Tyrese Maxey shot him out the gym. I mean, it wasn't even – he was dominating. And I think what something we talked about last week and every analyst and everybody has talked about so far is that this Sixers team could very easily beat this Raptors team in the paint because they – where the Raptors struggle is guarding bigs. Mm-hmm. And then Joel Embiid didn't really have to do much. I mean, he had a very mediocre pedestrian game. I think he had like 19 points, which for Joel Embiid's really not much. James Harden had 22, which again, I mean, it's been solid for James Harden, but – if this Sixers team can play like this and not need these dominant performances from Joel Embiid and still win by 20 points, the Raptors are in trouble. And it doesn't matter that going back to Toronto, the Sixers are going to lose Thibault, and then they're going to be back. And playing in Toronto is hard for anybody. Don't get me wrong, because that atmosphere is just awesome. But the Raptors, especially now that Scotty Barnes could be hurt, I mean, he's definitely probably missing tomorrow, and Gary Trent Jr. missing tomorrow as well. This is getting a very shaky for the Raptors very quick, because this game has to be disheartening. Yeah, maybe you just flush it and you're like, whatever, we need to win four games anyway. But you got worked in the game one of the series, and Joel Embiid did not play up to what Joel Embiid can do. And if you're letting Tyrese Maxey light you up, that's not a great sign for your team going forward. I love Tyrese Maxey. He's a great player. He's not the kind of dominant scorer who should do this to any team. So that I would honestly be more worried if I was the Raptors right now. And granted, they are the 5 seed and they're technically the underdog here, but the Raptors worry meter should be going way up very early in this series just based on this first game.
They're not built for that 5 seed. We still have this gentleman's bet going on, JP. They're not going to get 2 games under the belt. The Raptors are, they're going to get swept in this series. You still believe they're going to win 2 or no?
I still think they can take 2. It's hard to win in Toronto, but it's definitely – I do not feel near as confident now as I did.
I mean, Maxey's a stud, and Harden and those other guys have given him the keys to be the player that he should be in the NBA, especially transitioning from college ball, right? Great, great point guard at Kentucky. But Maxey, if he's doing that, then Joel Embiid and James Harden can be ordinary players. They don't need to go off every single night. And I was watching it and I was just like, I don't know what's going on here. I mean, he's fucking working everybody on that other side. So, I mean, I think the Raptors got lucky with their seeding toward the end of the year, but they're not built for this moment. And the Sixers are a team that are contending champions, you know, they're going for a championship, obviously. And can do so with the players that they have on their team. But Raptors is just an embarrassment. I mean, they got that one dude, Wadatomi, that got, you know, put on a poster by Edwards last year. They got other guys on the bench that just are kind of no names. Gary Trent Jr. is a minus 23 coming out of the starting lineup on that plus minus ratio. He's scared to shoot the ball. He airballed a layup during the middle of the game. So they're just not built for it, man. They obviously won that chip with Kawhi for a reason. Van Fleet went off, sure. You know, Siakam, where are you at? He was an all-star, correct? Like, not anymore, dog. They're just not built for the moment. So that's all I got to say about it.
Yeah, this is a very, very different team than the Raptors team that won not too long ago, which makes sense considering that was now 2 finals ago. 3, really, if you count, including that finals, which is kind of crazy to think about. But, yeah, it's alarming. And I still love Nick Nurse. I think he's an incredible coach, and they're going to make adjustments. However, and Joel Embiid's not going to play this pedestrian again. And the front line here for the Raptors in this series is Keem Birch and Precious Achiuwa trying to guard Joel Embiid. It's not going to last. I the problems are starting to show themselves too much. I like they can still take 2. Don't get me wrong. think it'll take two because
they're not taking two.
Guys, that level of playoff.
They're not.
Without Scotty Barnes, if Scotty Barnes is hurt, it's a different story.
Even
though he's a rookie.
This is like hands down the worst team in the playoffs. Like there's no doubt about that. The Raptors, bro. What are we talking about here? Tobias Harris has always also filled in that void where he's like, okay, why did we pay Tobias Harris like so much money? 26, Maxey 38. Like this is from 1 to 5, almost like it's an all-star team that what the Sixers have built. So I don't know, man. Let's keep it moving for now, but I don't think they're going to get two. And I think the Sixers are somebody that could win the whole thing. So, I mean, this is a tough out for the Raptors.
Fair enough. I love to hear it. I like that you're so passionate about these Sixers. We don't hear you about that too often. So
I'm big Sixers guy. I did say that the Nets, if they played the Sixers right last week, which I don't even know, I was tripping. I didn't even know what the standings were. Just wasn't possible. But I mean, the Sixers look great right now, man. So I mean, if I had to put money on it, I'd definitely put money on the Sixers out there just watching all these other games today.
Fair enough. And then the last game of the day yesterday, we went back out west. It was Warriors-Nuggets. Warriors handily, 123-107. The Steph, Clay, Draymond lineup was back for the first time since Steph's injury. They'd only played 11 minutes together before this game. And they played a decent amount together, although I wouldn't say that any of the three of them played outstanding. They all just played their ball and played well enough. Steph, you could obviously tell, was ramping up back up. Just was not playing Steph Curry-esque basketball. But it didn't matter because Jordan Poole was an absolute lightning bolt. The dude was hooping, and he's been playing so well, especially the back half of this year. He's the most improved candidate. If you're counting by like release votes, he's actually in first right now. I'm not sure if that'll hold. Ja's probably coming up very soon. But it was a great showing for Jordan Poole, a guy who throughout his entire career at one point was labeled as the worst player in the NBA on some of those really old Warriors teams from about 2 years ago. Is now being the best player in a playoff game, in a game that included the most likely MVP, Nikola Jokic. What a turnaround. That's been awesome. It's been awesome to see for Jordan Poole. I'm excited that because I like him a lot as a player. Speaking of Nikola Jokic, the Joker played fine. He was okay. This was always going to be a tough matchup for Jokic, especially when it comes to his ball movement skills, because the Warriors are so young and able to move so fast and make passing really hard. Jokic is going to have a game this series where he puts up like 45 and 15. It's going to happen eventually, but it was not yesterday. They looked outmatched. He looked outmatched. They looked outmatched. The only guy who really came to play was Will Barton, who played very well. But I think he had 24, which is a lot for Will Barton. But Will Barton ain't winning you a series against the Warriors. He ain't winning you a playoff series, period. So I don't think there's really much to glean from this game that we didn't already expect or know. So I guess, Andy, I'd just say for you, you know, was there anything else you're looking forward to in this series? Or is this just kind of a showing that, like, yeah, this Warriors team is going to beat the brakes off these Nuggets?
Yeah, I mean, they're without their full roster. Obviously, Jamal Murray is a huge player on the Nuggets side. But and Jokic can't. I mean, Jokic is a center, bro. He's not the one bringing up the ball, facilitating the plays and calling out shots. So, yeah, I mean, Warriors, like Liam was saying last week, look out for him, man. They look great. Maybe put Poole in the starting lineup. You know, so I knew Curry was going to be back, though. Like, Curry was definitely going to be playing first game. No doubt about that. Watch out for the Warriors, man. There's some sleepers. And, you know, Steph Curry will win that MVP. And so that's all I got to say about that.
I'm going to have to disagree with you on the last one. But everything else, I think you're totally correct. It's, you know, even when this roster's played together, this Steph, Draymond, Clay, they don't all have to be playing, like, extraordinarily well. It's just the chemistry they have and the gravity each one of those players pulls, it opens up the floor so much for everybody else. So I wouldn't say this Warriors team right now, I expect them to go, you know, bust the doors off of every team they play because there are still some holes in this roster. But when they're moving like this and in a game where Steph Curry can take a step back, I'm coming off an injury and be like, I really don't even need to shoot that much because I got Jordan Poole coming out here splashing. That's a really, really good sign for the Warriors, good sign for the Bay Area. And I think we've known this from the beginning with the Nuggets. They ride with Jokic, and he's been incredible all year. He's probably going to win an MVP, very well deserved. But in a playoff series, it's a problem. But they're a six seed for a reason. This Warriors team, I think, is going to beat them. The Nuggets might steal one in Denver because it's hard to play in Denver. But I think
what's up with really. Oh, I guess Campazzo's out, huh? Campazzo pushed whoever.
Yeah, he got suspended. I mean, Campazzo ain't winning you a series either, but he did.
Campazzo might do it, bro. He might do it.
I disagree. I've watched Composito play a lot, but and he ain't winning you a series. But it was it's been interesting to see this Warriors team as they developed, you know, younger guys coming in, Jonathan Kuminga playing, Moses Moody, all that. And now it's really reliant on back in the old guys' hands and Jordan Poole. And those other guys are going to play too. But when it comes down to it, we know the lineups we're going to be seeing for the Warriors.
I think there was like some stat where Looney, Klay Thompson, Steph Curry, and Draymond Green have all played like 256 combined games together in the postseason. So, I mean, experience comes with it, right? And so that's what Jordan Poole was being asked after the game by Malika is, how do you do it? How do you build all this confidence? And how do you figure out, you know, what to do with all these other all-stars on the same team? And he's like, you know what? I've just been asking them, been studying the game. And they said, just do you. And then we'll figure it out from there. But experience is going to come down to, I mean, with this Warriors team, experience is huge, right? So who would they play second round? I'm just thinking out of the top of my head. I don't even know.
The Warriors, if they win this, would play the winner of the Jazz Mavs, I believe. That might not be true. Let me look. I think that does sound correct to me, though. But one of they will most likely be playing a lower seed because they right. Yeah, we'll see. But I'll pull it up real quick. But yeah, they definitely don't have like the hardest way to get to the finals.
That's what three seed. That's kind of where I'm going here. Like whoever second round is too. I mean, just gotta watch out for the Warriors, man. Steph Curry. I think Austin Rivers is related to Steph Curry also. You see that?
They have somehow one of the brothers is married to like their brother-in-laws.
Seth Curry is married to Austin Rivers' sister.
Yeah, that sounds right. And it would be actually, so if the Warriors win this, they play the winner of the Grizzlies Timberwolves series. So a little bit tougher matchup than Jazz Mavs, which I should have known that. That's basic seeding, but it is shit, after watching yesterday, the Grizzlies or the Timberwolves don't really scare me if I'm the Warriors that much. So.
Yeah. Well, fucking hey, there's Johnny outside. What's up, John? Cool deal. Let's keep it moving.
All right, keeping it moving. Before we get into the couple day games that have happened today, got another beautiful sponsor I have to tell you about today, and that is Credit Karma. You know, are you planning ahead for a big expense? Anybody out there? It's about to be summertime. Maybe you need to make some adjustments before the heat comes. Maybe, you know, go get some skin treatment, you know, something of that nature. So you're looking good when you got the shirt off, when you're out amongst the people at the beach, anything of that nature. Maybe you want to snag some tickets for a playoff game. Hey, one of these game sevens, you're going to wish you were there, no matter what it is, no matter who's playing, you're going to wish you were there. Maybe it's a little more serious. You don't want to put those car repairs.
Hey, medical bills. Chill.
Sorry, I think we both got dog problems going on right now, right?
Yeah. But, well, I think mine cooled down. But anyway, back to Credit Karma. If Credit Karma can help you look for a loan, a low-interest personal loan that could save you money while you pay off your purchase, Credit Karma uses your credit data to find loan offers that are personalized to you so you can have a better idea of what a loan amount you could get approved for. Credit Karma will even show you your chances of approval so you can choose between loan offers that you're more likely to get approved for and apply with more confidence. Just makes it so much easier on you. It's a much less stressful environment than, say, going into a bank or anything like that. Comparing loan offers on Credit Karma is 100% free. It won't affect your credit score and can save you money. There's no reason not to do it. At least take a look and see, maybe this works for me. You know, I personally do use Credit Karma to keep track of my finances, make sure things are all looking good, the credit score, all that. As I'm about to go, eventually have to go get a new apartment. All that stuff matters because the people be looking at your finances. You want Credit Karma on your side. Ready to apply? Head to creditkarma.com/loan offers to see personalized offers. Again, that's creditkarma.com/loan offers to find the loan for you. That's creditkarma.com/loan offers. Credit Karma, apply with more confidence today.
You think anybody's going to do it?
I hope so. I use Credit Karma. I don't need a loan right now, but I do use Credit Karma. And it's a great service. You got to keep an eye on that credit score, Andy. You know that.
I know, man. I still can't find my debit card.
Yeah. Is it just GG's? You think it's just over?
Yeah. I got to go get a new debit card next week for sure. I've been putting a lot of money on my credit card, but I have Apple Pay. So, but like, you know, you can't go to a bar. What we were saying, I can't Apple Pay anything with a bar. Why is that a thing? Why can't you do that?
They don't, I don't know. They honestly, I think most bars would rather just everybody pay cash, to be honest. So they're just like the less digital offers, the better. But,
right. Straight cash, homie.
Hey, I paid in a bar. I paid for lunch and at a bar with cash a couple of times this weekend. Bartenders were loving me. You know, I said, hey, keep it check.
Let's, Credit Karma. What's good? Let's do the NBA trivia question of the week now.
Yeah, go ahead and drop it on me before we get to these next couple games here.
All right. Which NBA player was the first winner of the NBA Finals MVP despite being on the losing team?
So this is a great question, and I do believe I know it, but the reason I know it is partly because of some current events that are going on in the world, which we'll talk about a little bit later. But I think it's something that we will never see again. I don't think we'll ever see a losing player win MVP just because, you know, recently, the only time ever recently would have happened was that LeBron James finals against the Warriors where Iggy ended up winning it, but LeBron was putting up like 46, 15, and 10 every game, and they lost. And if he's not winning it that year as a losing team, it's never going to happen again. But to answer your question, Andy, I believe this is Jerry West with the Lakers. It was the first player to ever win finals MVP on the losing team.
That is incorrect.
Really?
I'm just kidding. Yeah, it's Jerry West. Other options, Bill Russell, Isaiah Thomas, George Mikan
layup drill. Yep. One of the all-time greats for the Hawks. He's from way back in the day.
See, that's insane, bro. Who knows that? You know? Justin
Pinsett. I know that. Yeah.
Jonathan. No, Jerry West won the NBA Finals MVP award in 1969, which was also the first year the award was handed out. It wasn't until 1972 that Jerry West won an NBA title with the Boston Celtics. I'm kidding, right? This is a bad joke.
Hey, the reason it's tough right now is because so many people are learning about this era of Lakers ball from Winning Time, which is the new HBO docu-series. It's not a full documentary. It's a narrative story. But I've been watching it every episode of HBO Max. I thoroughly enjoy it. It's great. Any basketball heads out there should absolutely give it a watch. Or if you just like dramatic television, it's great. John C. Reilly's Jerry Buss, Dr. Jerry Buss, has been awesome. Magic Johnson, Quincy Isaiah, I believe his name is playing Magic Johnson. The first acting role he's ever done and is doing an awesome job, especially playing a guy like Magic Johnson.
Is it like episode in life? Is it episode one of the doc or what's going on?
It's like episode five. It's been going on for, it's been released on Sunday for like the last month. Yeah. So if anybody with HBO Max, go check it out. No free ads, but it is very good.
Yeah. I'm so glad we also I'm not going to ask you about the Lakers. Just don't even want to talk to them anymore. Talk about them at all anymore.
No reason to. I mean, I'm sure we'll talk about it over the offseason when they get a new head coach, everything like that. But I got some stuff to say about Russell Westbrook, but I'm not going to say it. I'm going
to
wait.
Hey, to the Pacers, baby. To the Pacers.
He might as well go do something like that.
Did you see that? I mean, that's what like the rumor came out that he was like they're going to try to trade him to the Pacers.
I feel like they're going to try to trade him to whoever wants him.
Yeah. Well, we'll take Westbrook all day.
Hey, it would be fun to watch, but we're no Lakers talk.
Anyways, yeah. We're talking too much about it. In New York.
We talked ourselves back into some Lakers talk. All right, we're out of it. What's next? All right, the back in the Eastern Conference, first game today being Sunday.
Yes.
It was Heat-Hawks, and this game was never really close. The Heat dominated this game from start to finish.
Yep.
It was a masterclass by the Heat, a team that's incredibly good, one seed in the East for the reason. Duncan Robinson with 27 off the bench, 8-9 from three. They could not stop Duncan Robinson. Miami played stifling defense, including on Trae Young, who did not play well. He got rolled up on Kyle Lowry a little bit later in the game, and then once it was out of hand, the Hawks were like, no, just go sit down. We don't need you out there right now.
Right.
As an eight seed, playing a team as good as the Heat, your team's best player has to be there. You have to be playing every game. You have to be playing lights out. And Trae Young will do that eventually, but as seen today, when that doesn't happen, these Hawks, as good as they are, I like the team a lot, they don't really have the guns to compete with this Heat team if Trae's not playing at 100%.
Right. Oh, my fault. Yeah, I mean, the environment in Miami too, man, it's tough to win. Jimmy Butler and Trae Young, we're talking about the Miami Heat. Sorry, man, I just completely lost train. I didn't even hear what you said. We're talking about this series, right?
Yeah.
Sorry, man, that's why we need a hoop on the pod. The one thing I do know about this series, it's hard to win in Miami, and Trae Young is not going out without a fight, and literally speaking. So Jimmy Butler's not going out. They're just dogs all around, man. You seen what Trae Young did with the Knicks last year, and you know he'll continue to put up points. And I mean, I think the Hawks can get a couple here, and it you know might sound outlandish to say, but the Heat look great. Yes, correct, but you know if the Hawks can steal one at home here or in Miami, you know, look for the Hawks to come back with some serious momentum and get going and get rolling over there. If not, they go down 0-2, definitely got to win two, you know, at home. But it's going to be a dog eat dog fight, I think, in this series, and definitely look out for it to watch. Definitely look this. I can't even speak fucking English. Go ahead, JP. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I do know what you're talking about. And you're right. You don't want to mess around with this Hawks team for too long because they do have a lot of talent. You don't want to let them hang around. The Heat know that. Eric Spoelstra is an incredible head coach. He's telling his guys that every day. Like, yeah, we are better than this team, but we can't let them even breathe. We saw it in a couple of play-in games with this Hawks team. First off, they can blow a team out like they did the Hornets, or they can fight back against a good team on the Cavs and make it happen. So I Doug, the Heat do not want to mess around with the Hawks too much, but as we saw today, there's just a certain level of talent that's going around. And John Collins, even though he's playing, is obviously not 100% because he's in so many games. Clint Capella going down with an injury in the playing game is a disaster in this series for the Hawks because they needed that big guy, that constant threat in the paint. So it's going to be a long uphill battle for the Hawks. It's not impossible, but this is a tough 1-8 series for them for sure. And then the last game we're going to talk about today is the Celtics-Nets game, which was an incredible game, best game of the first round by far so far. Jason Tatum at 31, including the buzzer being layup on a ridiculous backdoor cut to the basket. Not really backdoor, but just a cut to the basket anyway, to get open right at the buzzer. It was awesome. He really honestly probably should have had more points, in my opinion. The Celtics have these weird stretches where they just don't go to him for a while. And then like Jaylen Brown takes some shots and Daniel Tice takes some shots and Derek White takes some shots.
Right.
And those are all good guys. But if I'm the Celtics, I want Jason Tatum touching the ball almost every single possession, especially in this series, because KD, who didn't play great today, but still filled it up, and Kyrie, who's playing out of his mind in Boston, you know, flipping the bird to the fans, sending him the crying, everything. Kyrie lives for this stuff. And
did he get called out for that? Did he get a tech for that?
No.
Yeah, just no one. I mean, it was at the free throw, right? Free throw line, right? When he was talking to a fan, and he flipped him off, right?
He did one. Apparently, there's no angle of this, but apparently, he like did it like behind his head one time, and he definitely did run it down the court, like flip somebody off one time. But I mean, apparently, some of the stuff that they like, I mean, it's Boston, you know, and it's Kyrie. They don't like Kyrie, so I'm sure some of the stuff they're saying is way out of pocket. But it is it's entertaining to say the least. KD's gonna have a game where he puts up 40, whatever. If I'm a Nets fan, after today's game, yeah, it sucks losing. You would have loved to get game one, but I feel a lot more confident about the series now because the Celtics at some points in this game looked absolutely dominant, and you only lost by one point on a buzzer beater. It was kind of off like a fluke play. So I don't feel bad if I'm a Nets fan. Go get game two, bring it back to Brooklyn. It's a whole new series.
Right. KD didn't look great to me in this game, although putting up 23. Kyrie looked amazing, and Kyrie is someone that comes in the clutch. That last bucket, I'll tell you what, man, I was eating, my mom and I were eating out. We were eating some brisket at Ed Lee's Barbecue's fire barbecue place in Nashville. This guy comes up to me, server, and I've worked in the service industry, but like, man, if someone's watching the game and it's the last 10 seconds, bro, this guy came up to our table and was like, "Hey guys, how was everything? Both of our plates are done. Everything was great. Appreciate it." I'm not even answering. I'm just like looking straight forward because I'm trying to watch the last 5 seconds of this game. My guy, he asked me again, "Hey man, how was it?" I said, "My guy, it's good, bro. Missed the game winner right here, dog." I don't know why. I just got really frustrated with that, man. You got to understand, I've worked in bars and like service industry and shit. No one likes sports that works in service. Have you noticed this?
Yeah, no, that's 100% true. Yeah. There's a certain, cause like, I don't know when everybody else is watching the game, they're working always. So
I get it too, but my guy, come on, bro. Trying to watch the last five seconds of this game right here, dog. Everything was straight. Obviously I devoured it, but I'm not trying to sound like a dick, man. No, happy Easter and everything else, but it was a great game. Kevin Durant, you know, had an offensive foul on Jason Tatum toward the end of the game. They were up like 7 with what, like a minute and a half left, 2 minutes left. Then that's just fucking blew it. But I guess to your point, sure. Like they look good. I don't know. This series is definitely gonna be the one to watch out for, in my opinion. But I don't really know, man. I don't know if the Nets can do it. Like that's the thing. You need 39 from Kyrie and you need 23 from KD. Obviously, like super offensive power but that's not going to win them a championship either. I'm a big hate the Nets guy. Like, I'm not a Nets guy at all. So we'll see if they can do it, but this is the series to watch out for, I think. I don't know what it is about KD. He's just not quick. You know, like, is that just me? Or he's just trying to cross over, he carries the ball, people know where he's going, and then, you know, you throw up a three and try to hit it off a bank. It just doesn't make sense to me. I could be, like, super biased, but, like, I don't know if that makes sense. He's just not a quick guy to me. He doesn't look quick on the court. He's,
I mean,
like,
I'm not saying anything about it.
He's, like, 7 feet tall, bro.
Yeah, that's a good point. He's gigantic, but I ain't saying anything about KD's offensive game. Kevin Durant is a great offensive player. Yeah, he's not the quickest guy, definitely not, but the man gets to his spots and hits his shots. He just was a little off tonight. He's going to put up 30, I think, every game the rest of the series. So KD's just fine. Anybody worrying about KD is off their rocker.
I mean, six turnovers, right? Like the most on the team. I'm not worried. Like an all-star, bro. Come on,
dog. Not worried. A lot of KD's turnovers are like late because they just pass him at the end of the shot clock, and he'll either, you know, he'll get just ripped trying to push like something crazy going up. I'm not worried about Kevin Durant. I don't think anybody should ever be worried about Kevin Durant. The dude's a hooper, certified bucket getter, and always has been. So this is gonna be a great series. We should talk about the Celtics because they did play well. Marcus Smart didn't have a great fourth quarter, but played out of his mind the rest of the game. I'm super excited to watch the rest of the series. It could absolutely go seven, and it would be probably one of the best opening series of all time.
What about 18 fouls in the first quarter?
Yeah, it was a ref show for a little bit. I mean, but this is going to be a physical series. It 100% is.
Right.
I thought KD was getting fouled a lot more than the calls he was getting, but that's Kevin Durant. That's just part of being, you know, his size and stature and the way he plays. But it was a ref show, and it will not be that way for all series, but it definitely they got a little bit less happy with the whistles as the game gone on. Jaylen Brown got bopped in the face, and it was a bloody nose. That was just bad timing.
But Horford with 20 too kind of makes Bruce Brown look like an idiot.
Yeah, that is something that is like, if Al Horford ends up being a pretty big part of the series, which I think he will be. Like, Bruce Brown's been great. It's kind of like a small ball, like big guarder for the Nets. But Al Horford's been doing this a long time, and he's better than Bruce Brown.
I mean, 20 and 15, you know, like Tatum, was probably, you know, the player of the game. But Horford, I mean, 20 and 15. Yeah, 20, 15. And that's pretty much all. I mean, two assists, but fuck it. Yeah, I mean, Celtics look good, man. And I think on the lines too, talking about betting and things like that, it's just flip-flopping over and over. Like, I think the Nets were favored super hard. Then, like, right before tip-off, it was the Celtics that were back to being favorites. So, I mean, this is going to be an up-and-down series. So I'm excited to watch it, man.
100%. So that's all the games that have fully happened. The Bulls-Bucks are playing right now. Should we do a quick live score check? Do some, like, it'll be like time traveling.
Yeah.
So the Bucks are up 46-39 right now. So the Bucks are
right.
It's close though. The Bulls are making it happen here in the second quarter. By the time obviously you're hearing this, the game will be over. But we'll just do a quick like series preview about it. We don't have to talk too much about it because we're going to talk plenty about it next week.
Right.
I think the Bucks handle this series without too much of a struggle. Nobody on the Bulls can guard Giannis for one game, let alone four. So I think the Bucks handle it pretty easily. They're my pick to get out the East. So they're obviously my pick to get out the first round. I like the Bucks a lot. The Bulls have struggled against top level teams. I just don't see any reason not.
Lonzo's out for the series. Is that right?
Yeah, they were supposed to come back, but he's had some knee discomfort. I think Lonzo is done for the season.
Bro, what a puss!
I don't think Lonzo Ball's a pussy. I think he's just hurt.
Come on, bro. Like, this is what we talked about. Like, we've been waiting to see what the Bulls can do in the playoffs, and you're just being like, nah.
You have been waiting to see what the Bulls can do. I have known since opening day what these Bulls can do in the playoffs, and it's nothing.
Man, they just got screwed playing the Bucks, bro. They screwed themselves over.
Yeah, that's like a tough first-round matchup.
Fell in sixth place, and, like, the Bucks are third. You know, the Bucks should be first. They just got screwed. I think, you know, I would like to see the Bulls at least win a couple in this series, but who knows? Maybe Grayson Allen will take somebody out in the left nut again. So it might not even happen.
Maybe. That could happen. But then the last game to happen today is the last 1-8 matchup, Suns-Pelicans. Pelicans played out of their mind in the play-in games to get in. They broke my heart because now the Blazers aren't going to get their pick, which sucks. But Suns are the Pelicans have been great, and it's been very fun to watch this run for them. But the Suns are going to take this series in less than five games. I wholeheartedly believe that, and I would imagine you feel the same way.
You know me. I think the Suns are going all the way.
Yeah. Suns, I think they get out of this series without much of a struggle. Then they play the winner of the Jazz and a short-handed Mavericks, and they pretty much cakewalk their way to the Western Conference Finals. So, that which good for the Suns. They absolutely deserve it. They've been the best team in basketball, and then they're going to have a hell of a matchup coming for the Bucks when the time comes, assuming the Bucks make out the East, which I think we both have. And, yeah, that's every first-round game and some series previews so far. They've been great. They've been a whole lot of fun to watch, a whole lot of fun to talk about. And the beauty of the playoffs is we got at least another month and a half of this, probably closer to about 2 months to go. And he's taking some snaps. I'm not sure what's going on there, but we are coming to the end of the episode here.
Just a little preview for the MTM IG.
Respect. The little two-manner here. You got any shout-outs before we go, Andy? Anything you want to talk about?
Where are we at on time?
To be honest with you, I don't know. I know that's usually my job, but I think we're right around probably like the 55-minute mark, if I had to guess.
Interesting. No shout-out for me, man. I'm good, honestly. Playoffs are here. I think everyone was kind of waiting. People that like basketball don't really care about the regular season of the NBA, and I get it. So I think everyone's just ready to watch some NBA playoff basketball, and we'll go from there. I don't know. My series to watch would be the Celtics Nets. See who gets out of that round. On the West, I don't know. I guess Grizz and Timberwolves.
Yeah, I'd say so. After that first game, that it has to be. So I'm with you. Yeah, I don't really have any shout outs. Just, you know, everybody keep watching. It's the best, one of the best times of year, NBA playoffs. Every day there's a great game on somewhere. Super excited to be a part of it. Super excited to be talking to you about it. And, hopefully next week we got the full group together and we can run a little three-man on it.
A little three-man weave action. But, yep. All right, cool. If you don't got anything else, I'll not. Wait, what do you – wait, JP, what was that, a flex over there?
No, I was doing the three-man weave. Blah, blah, bang.
Oh, yeah. All right. Hey, JP, glad you had a great weekend, dude. Well, maybe think of a trivia question for next week. But if you don't have anything else, I'm going to namaste these fools out of here.
I'm good, brother. Let's take it home.
All right, namaste.
Stay safe.
We'll see y'all next week. Girl, I fucking hate yo. Fucking hate yo. Wish I never met yo. Never met yo. I was too damn patient. You had me waiting. Now I'm on vacation. Get faded, yeah. In an F50 and a skirt with my bra right next to me. Should've been you with me, but you randomly turned a hole on me. Every time I walk in the side street, drop it back quick. Could've had this. Imagine how you feel without. Gotta blow up faster than you left. You were in my life for a reason, I mean. I'm girl number one on Billboard. Just for you to hear it. You say I'm conceited, so be it. Even you left me in pieces. That's why I gotta say, girl, I fucking hate you. I hope your new boyfriend doesn't you did to me and makes you cry. I hope you